The eviction ban for renters looks set to end on the 31st of March. We broke this in the headlines at 10 o'clock as the government is on course to win a Dáil vote this afternoon on the issue. The Sinn Féin motion, which wants to extend the ban, looks set to be defeated after the coalition reached an agreement with TDs in the regional independent group. Well, independent TD for Kildare South, Cathal Berry, is on the line. Good morning, Cathal.
Good morning, Owen.
Does that mean that the coalition has reached an agreement with yourself?
They've reached a tentative agreement. So basically, the regional independent group are a group of independent rural and regional TDs across Ireland. And we've been a very constructive bunch, really. We recognise that the government do not have the monopoly on responsibility in relation to solving the housing crisis, that the people have made the decision 3 years ago in relation to who they would send to Dáil Éireann. And it's up to us then to work within those parameters and come up with solutions. So we put forward 8 solutions. They've been very, very well received, and we've got a good hearing. And we would reckon that they were going to make a significantly positive impact on the rental sector very, very shortly.
Okay, what were those solutions that were put forward by the regional independents? Because we've heard about them. Verona Murphy, I mentioned this in the first hour, she cautioned the government that it requires an undertaking not just to accept the proposals, but they have to be implemented. So what are they?
Yeah, so I'll just give you an example of one, really, Owen. So this is the Fair Deal scheme, and many of your listeners may be aware of this. It's when you go into long-term nursing care, if you're in your 70s or 80s or beyond. And my own aunt is in this situation, actually. She's up in Navan at the moment. But for the last 3 years, her house, her beautiful four-bed house inside Navan town, has been left completely idle. Because if she does rent it out, she'll be massively penalised from a tax and from an expenditure point of view. So this rule would make it far more amenable for people who are in long-term nursing care to consider renting out or even selling their principal private residence at one that they lived in most of their lives. So there's about just thousands of houses in the country in a similar situation, and it'll certainly increase supply.
Okay, we'll come back to some of those proposals in a moment, Cathal, but just generally, do you feel it's the right decision to lift the eviction ban?
So I sat through the entire debate last night in Leinster House inside the Dáil Chamber. I listened to every word, and one thing I've noted that nearly every contributing party and deputy, they all agree that the ban should be lifted. It's a winter eviction ban. It's a temporary arrangement. Where the point of, disagreement comes in is, when should it be lifted? That's where the point of disagreement is. So from our own perspective, it's all about mitigation measures. And if the mitigation measures are in place, then it would make more sense to lift the ban. Just, I need to speak to Minister O'Brien this morning, in particular in relation to the 62, derelict houses in the Curra camp, which has been a long-running saga. It's hard to believe that there's actually 62 family homes on the Curra, publicly owned by the Defence Estate, basically, and they're lying completely empty and completely idle. So we have got a commitment from the Taoiseach about 3 weeks ago, which I very much welcome. But I need to speak to him this morning in relation to what the timeline for the refurbishment is, because some of those houses are in very good state and all they need is some tweaks and they can be occupied very, very quickly.
Yeah, and that's just one example. I mean, you know, nearly in every town and village around Kildare and around the country, there are some houses lying derelict that people would say, well, they could be used to house people who are suffering from homelessness. But you feel as though the 31st of March is an acceptable time to lift the eviction ban?
No, I'd prefer if it wasn't, and we do need a bit more of a taper. But there is a built-in kind of phasing, so it's between the 31st of March and the 18th of June. That's the phase. But of particular note is I got two unsolicited phone calls from landlords last night, and they actually listened to debate as well, and they said because of these proposals on the table, okay, they're now going to rescind their notice to quit because they feel like they have regained control of their own property. And if that is a pattern across the country, then these proposals will have a very, very positive effect for sure.
Okay, I know it's a phased basis of the lifting of the ban, but when do you think it should be lifted entirely? Because you're saying that you don't agree that it should be lifted on the 31st of March.
Yeah, well, a two-month
period. That means you're voting against the government's motion then, is it?
I'm voting for the sequence of the votes will be a vote on the regional group's proposals, first of all, and from what we're hearing, they're going to be very, very positively received from around the House here, from all parties, and also general in the media. People are kind of going, wow, they're very good, 8 solutions. Why are they only being implemented now? They should have been mentioned years ago. We wouldn't be in this crisis. So the first vote would be on that. The second vote would be on the government's motion. And the government's motion has actually cut and pasted these 8 proposals and embedded and incorporated it into their motion. And unfortunately, we won't get to vote on the Sinn Féin motion at all. There'll just be most likely 2 votes this afternoon. One would be on the regional group's 8 proposals, that's first, and then would be on the government's proposals. And I'd have to speak to Dara Bryan this morning, get clarification in relation to what's happening in the Curragh camp, and then I'll decide from there.
Okay, you need clarification obviously on the Curragh camp, but you'll also need assurances surely from the government that those 8 measures are going to be implemented, because looking in from the outside, it could be construed that the government have taken these 8 proposals, realised that, okay, we need to just say this in order to get the independents on side, say that we'll implement them, get them on side, pass the motion, and then everything will be fine.
Yeah. The difference here is that there's actually a laid down timeline for those proposals. So the 1st of May is the laid down timeline for implementation, which is only a few weeks away. And also we know the date of the budget. It'll be the second Tuesday in October. And we've got commitments in relation to tax incentives and tax relief for very small landlords. And that'll be relevant to this tax year. So it's actually going to be backdated to the 1st of January. So we'll be very confident. And the region group, like, we have opportunities to put down motions of no confidence, should we wish as well, if the government don't honour their commitments. But we've been very well received, and for good reason, because these 8 proposals are very meritorious. And I think they'll make a significant difference positively downstream.
OK, what do you say to those people who may become homeless or will become homeless when this eviction ban is lifted, Cathal? Because we've seen the notices that have been issued, you know, according to official Residential Tenancy Board figures, that, you know, thousands of people are going to lose their homes now as a result of this ban being lifted. What do you say to those people who might be listening this morning?
What we're hearing, some of the notices to quit notices will be rescinded. And also, what we're also hearing is a lot of the landlords are much more amenable to extending tenancies now, because they will have certainty in relation to access to their property. And that's basically a good option from a landlord's perspective. So I would say, for people who are in that situation, first of all, continue paying the rent. Engage with your landlord. You will most likely find that they're much more amenable because they have regained control of their property. And if there's a difficulty, then contact the housing department in Kildare County Council. They have options in relation to purchase of tenants in situ. And in many cases, people who are precariously housed currently may end up much better off, because the privately owned house they're currently in may become a publicly owned house, and that will give them security of tenure for the rest of their days and for their families as well.
Okay, do you have people coming to your office in Port Arlington and in the south of the county, Cathal, fearing that they're going to be made homeless?
Yes, in Port Arlington and in Newbridge. We have an office in Newbridge as well. That's the mainstay of our work is all about housing. And we have 2 staff in the team in Newbridge dealing with the matter constantly. And that's why it's so important that we don't just address the short-term problems, but we focus on the underlying crisis that has caused this problem in the first place. And we certainly believe that those 8 measures, and what we're hearing across the political divide, is these are very, very positive, and it could represent an inflection point in the rental market.
Right, can you give me a couple more of those measures that you're bringing forward to, or have brought forward to government?
Yes, so basically just one more, the Croí Cónaithe scheme. Now, some of your listeners might be aware that you can currently get a grant of €50,000 if you're prepared to do up a derelict house or a vacant house and occupy it yourself. So what we're suggesting is that €50,000 isn't enough, and it should be increased up to about €80,000. And the reason being is the cost of construction has gone up. Secondly, only houses that are at least 30 years old qualify for the scheme. We're dropping that to 15. And crucially, and this is really important, currently, if you get that grant, you must live in the house. But what we're saying is it should be open to small landlords who actually want to rent out this property as well. So what you'll see as a result of these measures is a large number of rental properties coming on the market, which is good. It'll protect tenants, it'll protect property owners, and it'll also increase supply.
All right. Yesterday we heard from the Kildare North representatives, Fine Gael TD Bernard Durkin and Sinn Féin TD Raida Cronin. Now, Sinn Féin TD for Kildare South, Patricia Ryan, has just called us here at the studio. She's been listening to what Cathal has been saying. Patricia, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Owen?
What's your views? You were listening to the radio there to Cathal.
Yeah, I feel that, like, in this day and age, we've had the eviction ban. It needs to continue for the foreseeable future. My office is inundated with people who are getting eviction notice. What I want to ask Deputy Barry is, where are the people to go? When they go to his office, where is he telling them to go? We know they have nowhere to go. They're going to be in tents. They're going to be on the side of the road. I have asked for emergency bed numbers in Kildare County Council. They cannot give them to me. So I really want to know where Deputy Barry is sending those to go to his constituency office who are in bother with homelessness in the future.
Cathal, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, absolutely, and I very much respect Patricia's views and in the way she articulated them as well. So just as I said previously, the first thing to do is continue paying the rent, engage with the RTB, talk to your landlord. I suspect your landlord would be much more amenable to extending the lease, and the reason being is they've regained control of the property. If that doesn't work, then you contact the housing department in Kildare County Council, and they have a full range of measures available, and the tenant in situ purchase is a good option. As I said, it actually could increase and I guess improve your tenancy arrangement, because you're moving from a privately owned property into a publicly owned, and that will give you security of tenure into the future.
Patricia, is it that easy?
No, it's not that easy, Owen, and we all know it's not that easy. First and foremost, if you are in a property and the landlord is selling it, and you are asking Kildare County Council or any other local authority to buy that property, if you are in a three-bedroom house and there are two people in it, and Kildare County Council or any other authority buy that house, you are classed as overhoused. So therefore, you have to go out of that house. While they might buy the property, you still have to go find somewhere else where you're overhoused. You can also be underhoused. So therefore, necessarily the tenant that is in the house does not stay in the house that the local authority buy. And thirdly, I suppose the reality is not all landlords want to sell to local authorities. You can't force a landlord who they sell to. So if the landlord wants to sell, that's fine. If a local authority wants to buy, that's fine. That doesn't necessarily mean it's solving the problem of the person that is going and getting the eviction notice.
Okay, so it seems as though, Patricia, the Sinn Féin motion which wants to extend this eviction ban is going to be defeated after the coalition has reached agreement with TDs in that regional independent group. What's your reaction to that?
I think shame on them. That's what I think. I think what needs to happen is they need to continue the ban for at least until January, like we asked. We need to see the work done. We need to see houses built. We need to see public houses on public land. We have had this over and over again. We need to see people that feel safe in their homes currently. We have had a ban and the government have done nothing, absolutely nothing for 6 full months. At least if they get their act together and they continue with the ban, they might, they absolutely might feel, if they need to be voted back in again, that they might have to do something. But in the meantime, it's at the cost of those who are going to end up in tents and end up on the streets, and shame on them.
Okay, Cathal Berry, final word to you then. You won't be supporting Sinn Féin's call to extend the eviction ban to next January. Instead, you're going to be voting on the government side.
We won't get the opportunity to vote on the Sinn Féin motion, but my concern about the 31st of January is it really is in the depths of winter.
Okay, hypothetically, would you have sided with the Sinn Féin motion?
Well, my preference would be a 2 month grace period.
I think we know the answer to that one.
Right.
And that would be my preference. But we'll see. I'll speak to Minister O'Brien this morning, particularly about the house and the car, which have been an eyesore for decades. And if we get the appropriate money on the table and plan for refurbishment, then it would make a big difference to military families in the area.
Okay, that's...
Oh, and if I may just come back in.
Yeah.
Can I just pick up on something that Deputy Barry said there? He said the houses have been an eyesore for decades. There's the answer. Decades. We've had Fine Gael in government for at least 12 years and we have decades of dereliction. It needs to be addressed and they need to do it now.
Okay, Sinn Féin TD, for go on, final word to you, Cathal, briefly.
I couldn't agree more with Patricia there. They've been there for decades and finally we're actually getting the grips of them.
All right, that's independent TD for Kildare South, Cathal Berry, and Sinn Féin TD for Kildare South, Patricia Ryan, who called into us during the course of that interview. Thanks to you both for joining us. So there we have it. That seems to be what is going to happen later on this afternoon, that the eviction ban will be lifted, albeit on a phased basis, but will be lifted from the 31st of March. And Sinn Féin haven't seemed to garner the support from the independents. The independents have brought forward 8 proposals. The government say, we'll accept those 8 proposals. And now the independents are on the government side. That's the way that seems to have panned out. Jack has been in touch to say if the eviction ban is lifted, our self-serving politicians will get their answer at the next election. Another one here saying that the independents are just as bad as the government. Another one here saying disagreeing with Cathal Berry, unhappy with some of Cathal's answers, wanting to know that if people are made homeless, where will they go and who does Cathal Berry represent? Other people saying that independent TDs, including Cathal Berry, siding with the government. There's no independence there. Another one has come in to us to say that it looks like the independent TDs are an extension of the government. It's so sad. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have gone back to their roots. Ordinary people want more fairness in life, and so far they're not getting it. Marion says Sinn Féin are just jumping on the bandwagon in reference to lifting the eviction ban, but have no actual solution. Forcing a ban on eviction is state control over private properties. Plus, it won't affect the wealthy vultures buying up properties all over the country. It will be, however, the ordinary people who invested in properties as a means of a pension or who want to eventually allow family who can't afford to buy a house that will suffer. Mass migration is a major cause of the housing crisis. And there was also one more that came in to us here, and it's just gone away from me for the moment. But keep those messages coming in. 0833 97 97 97.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, welcome back. Now, following recent reports regarding a negative HICWA inspection report on a Dublin nursing home, we had a look at recent HICWA inspection reports on Kildare nursing homes. On Monday, we covered Moyglare Nursing Home in Maynooth. Yesterday, Oghill Nursing Home in Monastrevin. And today, we look at Hazel Hall Nursing Home in Clane. And Hazel Hall can accommodate up to 46 female and male dependent adults over the age of 18. The majority of residents are aged 65 and over and can provide for the following care needs: general dementia, physical disability, intellectual disability, acquired brain injury, and young chronic care. Hazel Hall Nursing Home is a purpose-built facility. It's the provider is Esker Property Holdings Limited, and it's in its own secure grounds with car parking facilities and is monitored by CCTV. And the number of residents on the date of inspection, which was carried out on the 5th of October last year but only published earlier this year, was 35. And as always, if we go through where the report states, Caoimhe, where the nursing home was compliant or not compliant, then we can go through that and find out there. So if we start off with some of the regulations there, Caoimhe.
Yeah, so Regulation 15, staffing compliant. Regulation 16, training and staff development, substantially compliant. Regulation 19, directory of residence, substantially compliant. Regulation 21, records, compliant there. Regulation 23, governance and management, substantially compliant. Regulation 24, contract for the provision of services, compliant. Then in quality and safety, Regulation 10, communication difficulties, compliant. Regulation 11, visits, substantially compliant their own. Regulation 12, personal possessions, Regulations compliant. Regulation 17, premises substantially compliant. Regulation 20, information for residents compliant. Regulation 25, temporary absence or discharge of residents compliant. Regulation 27, infection control not compliant their own. Regulation 5, individual assessment and care plan compliant. Regulation 6, healthcare compliant. Regulation 7, management behaviour that is challenging compliant. Regulation 8, protection compliant. And then lastly, Regulation 9, residents' rights not compliant their own.
Okay, so if we take a look then at what are substantially compliant and not compliant and what the HICWA report found and said, and then in response what the nursing home came back to say that they would do or maybe have already done in order to address some of those issues. So first of all, Regulation 16, training and staff development. Inspectors reviewed the staff training matrix and saw that all mandatory training was up to date. A training schedule was in place to provide updated training to staff when due, and staff told the inspectors that they had good access to training. However, the report here says that there were gaps in knowledge among staff who spoke with inspectors with regard to the management of how to manage blood and body fluid spills to ensure that the environment was effectively decontaminated. The finding there was substantially compliant. What did the nursing home say in response, Caoimhe?
So Hazel Hall Nursing Home in Clane said a comprehensive retraining was scheduled in the management of blood and body fluid spills zone. Prior to inspection, the management team had identified a gap in supervision and had taken steps to address this by adding a new role to the existing team. And the person in charge is awaiting placement on infection prevention and control link practitioner framework course for community health and social care setting zone.
Also substantially compliant with Regulation 19, the Directory of Residents. The report here states that the Directory of Residents was reviewed and it was found to contain most of the required information that's outlined in the report. However, some details of the residents' next of kin and general practitioner or GP information were not fully completed in the register. The response from Hazel Hall?
Yeah, they said the registered provider maintains a comprehensive directory of residents on its care planning software. A bound paper register is also maintained. The gaps identified in the bound paper register were rectified immediately following the inspection.
Regulation 23, governance and management, substantially compliant here. Additional resources were required to facilitate the refurbishment of the centre. However, a comprehensive refurbishment plan was already in place, although there were management systems in place to ensure the service provided was safe, appropriate, consistent and effectively monitored. The following areas required to be improved on, according to this report. Local infection prevention and control audits failed to identify issues identified on the day of the inspection to drive quality improvement. The process for visiting and risk assessment for COVID-19 were available but were not updated in line with the latest COVID-19 guidance, and the support and opportunities for residents' participation in meaningful occupational or recreation activities were not adequate in one of the units. What did Hazel Hall do in response, Caoimhe?
So the centre's work on refurbishment continues as per its refurbishment plan own, and contractors are also engaged to replace floor coverings and specific clinical hand wash sinks. The centre's infection prevention and control audits have been reviewed and reworked, and the visiting policy and the process for visiting is in line with the HSPC guidance on visitation to residential care facilities. Staff are appointed to support residents' participation in meaningful occupational and recreational activities only.
Okay, if we go then to Regulation 17 regarding premises. Overall, the premises met the regulatory requirements. However, the following issues in Hazel Hall Nursing Home, according to this HICWA report, which did not meet the requirements, were identified. Not all areas of the premises were kept in a good state of repair. For example, damage and chipping to the paintwork was notified. Storage facilities and practices required review. Aspects of the premises were not clean or suitably decorated. For example, carpets and flooring in some areas were stained or kept damaged. A thermometer was required in the medication room to allow for temperature monitoring. Access to overhead bed lights was limited due to the relocation of beds in some rooms, and the curtain placement in one of the vacant shared bedrooms did not provide sufficient personal space, Caoimhe. Again, the response from the nursing home?
Yeah, the response, Owen, was that there is an ongoing refurbishment programme in place at the centre as submitted to the inspectorate, which is regularly updated. Storage facilities and practices are reviewed throughout the centre. Shelving has been removed from areas where it is not appropriate to store items, for example, adjacent to the hot water tank, and additional shelving and storage facilities are installed and supplied to ensure appropriate storage. Thermometers are installed in the medication room to allow for temperature monitoring. Bedrooms are risk assessed to and the layout changed where permitted to enable residents to easily reach the light switch from their bed own. And then the curtain placement in the shared bedroom is reviewed to ensure sufficient personal space within the bedroom for each resident own.
Okay, then the two areas, according to this HICWA report, that Hazel Hall Nursing Home were not compliant in, we'll start off with infection control. There were three hand hygiene sinks available to staff. However, these sinks did not comply with the recommended specifications. The sealant at the back of some sinks were damaged, therefore providing a medium for bacteria to grow. The underneath of seven alcohol-based hand rub dispensers had a build-up of product residue. Surfaces of some furniture, walls, bins, damaged flooring and carpets did not support effective cleaning. Detergent used in the bedpan washer was out of date. There was a lack of organised storage space in the centre, resulting in the inappropriate storage of equipment and boxes. Sterile dressings and solutions used for wound dressings were not used in accordance with single-use instructions. And there are some other issues that arose there as well. But what, again, did Hazel Hall say in response?
So they said, Owen, that the centre's ongoing refurbishment plan includes the installation of clinical hand-washing sinks as per current specifications. All existing sinks were reviewed and silicone replaced where necessary. Cleaning schedules were revised, Owen. A flooring contractor was engaged to replace flooring as per the centre's refurbishment plan, and this work has commenced with the installation of new flooring in the dining room. New bedroom furniture, which can be easily cleaned, was purchased and installed. Bins and commodes are reviewed and replaced where necessary. The centre has allocated suitable dedicated storage for nutritional supplements. There is an increased storage for PPE and incontinence wear. Dedicated space has been allocated now for wheelchairs. The centre has dedicated storage for space for medical equipment. Cleaning wipes are stored on the housekeeping trolleys, with a further supply available in cleaning rooms. Then, on the temporary closure mechanism on all sharp bins are now engaged by staff of the centre, and clinical waste is segregated from domestic waste. All dressings and solutions are reviewed, stored and used in accordance with single-use instructions. And then lastly, on medical equipment cleaning schedules are reviewed and set out for staff to refer to when cleaning such equipment.
Okay, finally then, residents' rights. They were found to be not compliant here, and the report says although there were facilities in place for recreational activities and the list of activities was available on the notice boards in the nursing home, the inspectors found that these were not consistently implemented and that not all residents availed of opportunities for meaningful engagement. For example, the residents on the dementia unit did not appear to be engaging in any meaningful activities on the day of inspection, despite the planned activity schedule. The provider gave assurances that the activities on this unit would be reviewed to ensure the residents could engage in meaningful activities each day. Finally then on this, Caoimhe, from the nursing home.
Yeah, so the response there, Owen, that staff are appointed to support residents' participation in meaningful occupational and recreational activities, and additional staff are assigned to support staff in implementing this programme, Owen. The visiting policy and the process for visiting is in line with HSPC guidance on visitation relation to residential care facility zone.
Okay, so that is the latest HICWA inspection report, that one being carried out at Hazel Hall Nursing Home in Clane. It's of a matter of public record. You can view the report in full on the website www.hicwa.ie. We did inform the nursing home that we were going to be covering this morning. We asked them if they wanted to provide a statement, and as of about half an hour ago, we hadn't received a response from the nursing home. So that is the third home that we've looked at this week. As I mentioned there from the outset, we covered Moyglare in Maynooth on Monday, Oghill Nursing Home in Monastrevin yesterday, Hazel Hall Nursing Home in Clane today, Ashley Lodge Nursing Home in Kildare Town tomorrow, and then Craddock House Nursing Home in Naas on Friday.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
Okay, joining us on Crime Watch this morning is Anne-Marie Riley of Naas Garda Station. Good morning, Anne-Marie, and thanks for joining us. We're looking at Maynooth, Selbridge, Athy and Newbridge this morning. Starting off in Maynooth at the Glen Royal Shopping Centre, theft of a pedal cycle there.
Good morning, Owen. Yes, that's correct. On Saturday last, there, the 18th of March, pedal cycle was taken from outside the Glen Royal Hotel there, the shopping centre. It was between 2 p.m. and 4:30 in the afternoon. So if there's anyone in and around the area, please contact Maynooth Gardaí on 01-629-2380 if they've seen anything suspicious.
Okay, on St. Patrick's Day then, there was a theft in Selbridge there on the main street.
That's right, yeah. So St. Patrick's Day, Friday afternoon there, about 1:10, a youth entered the carry out off licence in Selbridge and met off with a number of vapes. The vapes were to the value of €100. Just if anyone was around on the afternoon, Friday was quite a busy day, so if anyone had seen a youth acting suspicious around the carry out off licence in Selbridge, please contact Selbridge Gardaí.
There was also a burglary in Athy. This was out on the Carlow Road.
That's right, Owen, yes. So on the 16th of March, between about 1:30 in the morning and 5:30 in the morning, a burglary occurred in which a shed was broken into. It's in the Ardrey area of Athy, and Gardaí are appealing for anyone that may have seen anything suspicious in around that area, delivery drivers, taxi drivers, to contact Gardaí in Athy.
There was also a theft of power tools. This was on the same day, 16th of March, in Newbridge.
That's right, on Thursday there between, was at around 1 p.m. in the afternoon, a couple, a male and female, entered Woody's DIY store and took a number of high-power tools. Now, I don't have exact details of these two tools that were taken at this time, but they did leave without making any effort to pay from Woody's. So if there was anyone in around the Woody's area in Newbridge on Thursday afternoon around 1 p.m. and may have seen a male and female leave, leaving Woody's, probably were leaving quite quickly, so if they could contact Newbridge Garda Station with any information, we'd much appreciate it.
Finally then, Anne-Marie, will stay in Newbridge. Assault causing harm on St. Patrick's Day at the train station.
Yes, so as I said, Patrick's Day was a busy enough day, all right, but a male had reported to Newbridge Garda Station that he was assaulted at the train station. It was between 5:10 and 5:20 in the evening time. So if anyone was in or around the train station, they might have been getting the train, coming or going, that they can contact Newbridge Garda Station if they'd seen the assault in relation to this male. We'd much appreciate it.
Okay, that's Garda Anne-Marie Riley from Naas Garda Station with a look at those crimes that took place over the last week or so. A reminder, a theft of a pedal cycle on the 18th of March outside Glen Royal Shopping Centre in Maynooth. Theft from shop, vapes taken from the carry-out off-licence on Selbridge Main Street on St. Patrick's Day. A burglary in Athy on the Carlow Road in the Ardrey area on the 16th of March. Theft of power tools from Woody's in Newbridge on the 16th of March as well, and then again on St. Patrick's Day, that assault causing harm at Newbridge train station. If you have any information, bring them please to your local Garda station.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park Nace, PSA licensed, 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.
Just want to let you know in relation to that crash on the M4 heading into Dublin, it's still very, very heavy, pretty much at a standstill between Maynooth and Kilcock. Now, it is moving a little bit past Maynooth, so it's certainly not as busy as it was maybe an hour ago, but still causing delays around the Kilcock exit. That crash around Mill Farm, really, I guess you could say it is, on the M4 heading towards Dublin. So keep that in mind if you're travelling in that direction. But I would imagine in the next half an hour to an hour, that will be completely cleared. Let's go to the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, where Fianna Fáil councillor Anne Connolly joins us. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Eoghan. How are you this morning?
Good, thanks indeed for taking the time out to take our call. Now, we have some local issues that you've been bringing to the council. And first of all, that road from Mount Prospect out towards the Clonbrin Road, you want the road to be maintained there?
Yes, look, there's a slight misprint there. It's for the next, the road restoration programme is in situ now for 2023. But like everything, you must start the process. So this was my starting point, was to request that it would be on the works programme for next year. Look, the council have patched it and it's gone beyond patching. So it needs a much bigger job done on it. So I did ask them to have a look at that for the 2024 programme, and they have agreed that they will put that on board.
Okay. Also then, staying in Rathangan, you wanted to see whether or not a location for off-street parking for the residents in New Street in Rathangan could be found.
Yes. Look, motioned some months back on this that they would identify extra parking for the residents on this list, on the street, but that did happen and they were not successful. And look, we have some the residents along there are finding it very difficult, you know, to have the cars parked outside their house, and one old resident has since received a parking ticket, so he was quite upset over the whole thing. But anyway, following on from the discussion, one of the officials has agreed to meet me out there and just see if there's any means that we can accommodate the residents along there, that they themselves at least can park there. It is quite narrow there, but there is enough room just for parking on one side, and so I'm hopeful that will happen in the next week or so, that we'll get out and we can come to or agree to something for the residents there, that they can park the car safely outside their homes.
Finally, Anne, did you get an update on the number and progress regarding unauthorised developments within the municipal district for last year, 2022?
Not within the municipal district. They were not giving me an exact number for the municipal district, but they did give like the overall county. Look, it's a huge, huge problem here in County Kildare, and I'm sure in all counties. But we have 2,500 live cases on at the moment in count of unauthorised developments. So it is a huge concern. It's a very slow process. It's a very slow process and a long process to take it to the courts, you know. They did give me the figures for last year across the county, but not, as I said, not on an MD. But it's something we just like to keep our finger on and keep after, because there are a lot of people impacted by the many, many unauthorised developments across the MD and within the county. So it's something we just need to kind of keep our finger on, keep asking the questions and keep pressing for some success in this, you know.
All right, Fianna Fáil councillor on the Kildare-Newbridge Municipal District in the Rathangan area, Anne Connolly, thanks for joining us this morning, Anne. And just before we finish up, and I know Caoimhe will have more on this in our news throughout the day, but the main story here that we're bringing to you on Kildare today, the government is on course to win a Dáil vote this afternoon on ending the no-fault eviction ban after reaching an agreement with members of the regional independent group. Minister Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, signalled in the Dáil last night that the coalition will accept amendments to its counter-motion. The group had indicated on Monday this was required to secure its support in the vote on the eviction ban. And we spoke to independent TD Cathal Berry on the show a little bit earlier on, but the government on course to win that vote this afternoon.